Today's Sunday, April 7th, 2024, and this is 5 at 8. With you today are Linda Carlisle and Mark Overman. In this episode, we will talk about the tragic events in Kharkiv, Ukraine, as Russian rockets hit residential buildings, the upcoming total solar eclipse and the scientific efforts to study it, the promotion of the Wonder Theory science newsletter by CNN, the diplomatic rift between Ecuador and Mexico over the arrest of former Vice President Jorge Glass, and the supply problem faced by OpenAI in training its AI system. Story number one. At least six people were killed in Kharkiv, Ukraine, by Russian rockets hitting residential buildings. President Zelensky called for stronger air defense in the region, as American aid remains uncertain due to Republican resistance in Congress. Russia has been increasing its attacks across the country, using missiles, guided bombs, and drones, as reported by the New York Times. Are we seeing a repeat of history here, Linda? You know, this whole situation reminds me of the Cuban Missile Crisis in some ways. Back then, we had two superpowers at odds, with smaller nations caught in the middle. The military aid provided by the U.S. to its allies played a crucial role in the outcome of that crisis. The same could be said about the current situation in Ukraine.
That's an interesting parallel, Mark. But the dynamics are slightly different this time around. For one, the U.S. isn't directly involved in the conflict. It's more of a proxy supporter for Ukraine. But yes, the power dynamics of military aid and international relations still holds true. The question here is why this restrained response from the U.S.? Is it purely because of political reasons?
Well, it's hard to say, Linda. Politics is a complex game. The fact that the aid package is facing resistance in Congress and might be tied to unrelated domestic energy policies does complicate matters. But let's not forget the human cost here. The people of Ukraine are the ones paying the price for these political games.
The human cost is devastating, and it's not just about the immediate loss of lives. The long-term effects of such bombardments on the psyche of the people, the infrastructure, and the environment are immeasurable. It's a grave situation, and immediate action is needed.
And while we're sitting here discussing this, Russia continues to expand its military arsenal. The power imbalance is growing day by day. If the aid doesn't come in soon, I'm afraid the situation is going to get a lot worse.
Yes, the urgency of the situation cannot be overstated. And this is not just about Ukraine. The outcome of this conflict will have far-reaching implications for global politics and the balance of power. We can only hope that the decision makers take into account all these factors and make the right call.
Story number two. Scientists are using rockets and planes to study the sun during the upcoming total solar eclipse. People are preparing to witness the celestial event, with some changing travel plans due to unexpected weather conditions. Different cultures have varying beliefs about eclipses, with some seeing it as a spiritual experience. A new CNN original series explores the tragic end of NASA's space shuttle program. Other recent discoveries include new deep-sea species and rare glimpses of wild felines in Malaysia. CNN reports that... Will you look at that, Linda? A total solar eclipse turning day into night. Now that's a spectacle to behold. It's fascinating how this celestial alignment can elicit such a wide range of responses, from pure scientific curiosity to deep-seated cultural beliefs.
Eclipses are a wonderful example of how different perspectives can coexist. On one side, you have NASA using high-altitude aircraft and rockets to collect data about the sun. It's an intriguing endeavor, this attempt to unravel the mysteries of the sun's corona.
No doubt about it, Linda. It's a bold step, pushing the boundaries of scientific exploration. Reminds me of how Columbia marked a new era of space exploration back in 1981. Just as we were eager to understand the vast expanse of space then, we're similarly driven now to decode the secrets of our very own star.
That's an insightful connection, Mark. And while the scientific community chases these mysteries with their instruments, it's equally interesting to observe how different cultures interpret these occurrences. For some, it's a time of spiritual contemplation, while others regard it as a sign of impending change or even doom.
Right you are, Linda. It's amazing how one event can evoke such diverse responses, huh? From Hindus considering it a bad omen to Muslims using it as a time for prayer. It's a testament to our human capacity to perceive and interpret the world around us in such varied ways.
And these interpretations aren't just static beliefs. They evolve with time and exposure. Just as we've seen societies move from attributing eclipses to mythical creatures to understanding the astronomical mechanics behind them. It's a fascinating journey of human understanding, wouldn't you agree?
Story number three. In a report from CNN, the Wonder Theory Science newsletter is being promoted. It covers fascinating discoveries, scientific advancements, and more, including Harvard University astronomers turning the upcoming total solar eclipse into sound using a device called light sound. This innovation aims to make the event accessible to people with blindness or low vision. The project has grown since its start in 2017, and the team aims to inspire young scientists through initiatives like light sound. It's truly incredible how technology can open up new experiences for everyone, isn't it, Linda? This light sound device that's been developed by Harvard University astronomers, I mean, it's a game changer. It's literally converting the visual experience of a solar eclipse into sounds. That's making this celestial event accessible to people with vision impairment. I think it's a fantastic example of how inclusive technology can be.
And what makes this even more remarkable is the science behind it, known as sonification. This is not just about creating an auditory experience. It's about representing complex data, in this case, light intensity, as sounds. So, the sounds that light sound produces during an eclipse aren't arbitrary. They correspond to the different stages of the eclipse, and that's what makes it meaningful.
Right, Linda. And it's not just about the eclipse itself. It's about making science more inclusive. Consider this. Traditionally, a lot of scientific observations and discoveries have been focused on the visual aspect. But this kind of technological innovation can open doors for people with visual impairments to participate more actively in scientific exploration. I mean, imagine the impact on a young, visually impaired kid who's interested in astronomy. This could be a game changer.
And it's not just about astronomy. The concept of sonification has potential applications in various fields of science. For instance, in meteorology, sonification could help visually impaired individuals understand weather patterns. Or in geology, it could help them study seismic data. The possibilities are endless.
Absolutely. And you know what? This is a great reminder of why we need diverse minds in science and technology. Because when we have people who think differently, who have different experiences and perspectives, they come up with solutions that benefit everyone. Not just the majority, but everyone.
It's about creating a more inclusive scientific community and, by extension, a more inclusive world. Let's hope that light, sound, and other similar technologies inspire more visually impaired individuals to explore the wonders of science. And let's also hope that they encourage more scientists to think about accessibility and inclusivity in their work.
Story number four. In a report from CNN, Ecuadorian police stormed the Mexican embassy in Quito to arrest former Vice President Jorge Glas, who was seeking asylum. Mexico condemned the arrest as a violation of international law and announced the breaking of diplomatic relations with Ecuador. Mexico plans to lodge a complaint with the International Court of Justice. The rift between the two countries had been growing since Mexico granted political asylum to Glas, who had been convicted of corruption charges. How about that situation in Ecuador, huh? It's unprecedented. The Ecuadorian police raiding the Mexican embassy to arrest Jorge Glas. I mean, I get it. Glas has been convicted twice on corruption charges. But still, he was seeking asylum and was inside the embassy. That's supposed to be a safe haven.
Yes, Mark, it's indeed a complex situation. But let's not forget, Glas was convicted of corruption. This whole ordeal can be viewed as Ecuador enforcing its own laws. They might argue that the asylum given by Mexico to Glas was a violation of their sovereignty.
Sure, Linda, but isn't there something to be said about diplomatic immunity? I mean, that's the whole point of embassies in the first place. They are considered the sovereign territory of the foreign nation. Ecuador's actions could be seen as a direct violation of international law.
That's true, Mark. But let's also remember the nature of the charges against Glas. Corruption is a serious crime that hampers a country's growth. Perhaps Ecuador is trying to send a strong message against corruption. The situation is indeed alarming, but it's not entirely black and white.
I get that, Linda. Corruption is indeed a serious issue. But I still can't shake off the feeling that this incident could set a dangerous precedent. I mean, if countries start violating embassy premises to enforce their laws, where does it end? It could potentially destabilize international relations.
I see where you're coming from, Mark. But every situation is unique. and we cannot predict the implications of this incident based on assumptions. It's a complicated issue with no easy solutions. The key here is to ensure a balance between diplomatic norms and a country's right to uphold its laws.
Story number 5. OpenAI faced a supply problem in late 2021 as it needed more data to train its AI system. To address this, researchers created a speech recognition tool called Whisper to transcribe audio from YouTube videos. Despite concerns about violating YouTube's rules, OpenAI transcribed over 1 million hours of videos to feed into its AI model. The race for AI advancement has led tech companies like OpenAI, Google, and Meta to cut corners and debate bending the law to obtain necessary data, according to the New York Times. Good grief, Linda. OpenAI has been caught in quite a pickle, huh? Looks like the relentless quest for data to feed AI systems has pushed them into a gray area. I mean, developing Whisper to transcribe YouTube videos, that's some next-level innovation. But it does raise questions about the respect of platform rules and user privacy. We're treading on thin ice here.
It's a fascinating but ethically complex situation. The innovation itself, Whisper, it's remarkable. But if we're to consider YouTube's rules, this could be seen as a clear violation. It's a bit unsettling, isn't it? The idea that our conversations on YouTube videos could be used to train AI without explicit consent.
Right you are, Linda. But you know, from a purely capitalist perspective, one might argue that it's a necessary evil for progressing AI development. It's the Wild West out there. Companies like OpenAI, Google, Meta, they're all vying for the same gold, data. And sometimes that means pushing the boundaries of what's acceptable.
Yes, Mark, but it's also a question of how far is too far. Look at Meta. They've been considering buying a whole publishing house, Simon & Schuster, just to access more text. It's a bold move, but it raises serious concerns about the commodification of knowledge and culture. This seems like an extreme measure, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, Linda. There's a fine line between innovation and exploitation. But let's face it, time is of the essence in this tech race. Negotiating licenses with publishers, artists, musicians, it's a long process. The question is, can we afford to wait? Or should we rethink our approach and legal frameworks to keep pace with the speed of tech advances?
That's a crucial point, Mark. It's high time we address these issues. The laws and policies need to evolve with the technology. The current regulations don't seem to be sufficient to manage this fast-paced development. Moreover, there's a need for a broader conversation around ethical norms in the industry. It's not just about what we can do, but what we should do.
That's it for this morning. Have a great day and see you all tomorrow.
5 at 8 is researched, written, and performed by artificial intelligence. For more information, visit botcaster.ai.